morning. There are three reasons that I can punish Jidin. One, he hasn't invited me to speak. Two, whole family knows that song, and he don't know. So next three family prayer time, we will be singing this song, and he will be singing it two times a day. And third, I'm supposed to be here only by 12:15, I believe, and he forced me to be here by 12:10. So there are three reasons that I can give him some punishment. Just joking, I cannot punish him. I'm considering him as an adult on my same level. He has his own responsibilities. First of all, I'm thanking God for giving me this opportunity to stand in front of our congregation. When I'm saying that it is a great privilege that I can stand, I've made it. I was having leg problem, leg pain, and on Friday I thought of, you know, calling Charles just said that we need to have a backup. Listening who was there, he said, forget it, you have to do it. He was there, so he said, you have to do it. Anyway, God enabled me to stand today, and I am so thankful for this privilege. I mean, for our a small meditation, I looked into Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, this is my prayer for you, that your love will grow more and more, that you will have knowledge and understanding with your love, that you will see the difference between what is important and what is not, and choose what is important, that you will be pure and blameless for the coming of Christ, that your life will be full of the many good works that are produced by Jesus Christ to bring glory and praise to God. This is a very familiar portion for all of us. We know the history about this book. This was written around AD 60. And this is about, and this letter is an acknowledgement letter from Paul after receiving a financial support from this church. And we know about this church. This church was established during the second missionary trip by Paul. It is clearly mentioned in Acts chapter 16, verse 12, about Lydia and the jailers, their conversion. So this is a very personal letter of Paul to his beloved church. And one of the greatest verse in that chapter or that epistle is, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Chapter 1, verse 21. So we know about this book very nicely. We know that how important it is. This is a very personal letter. A apostle can write to a church. He is giving his heart completely on this letter. If you look into these verses, you can see, grow more and more in love, and also in knowledge and understanding about God, you should be able to do a proper prioritization and live a blameless and pure life full of many good work produced by Jesus Christ to bring glory and praise to God. A small sentence which comprises of the complete heart or the complete wish of Apostle Paul about that church. It's a prayer. So when I was trying to study on this, I was thinking about our church. Our church is 12 or 13 years old. We started with 4 or 5 families in houses, then school, then we got a chapel, this one. 12 or 13 years, God brought us from different places, different family, different culture, and we are together and worshiping Him this morning. That's a mystery, isn't it? But what is our maturity level? Where are we? Are we to that level of completion? I mean, when we are saying we are 12 years old or 13 years old, are we on that level? Paul wants his church to be in this level, grow more and more in love towards Lord Jesus Christ, having more knowledge and understanding about God, proper prioritization, blameless and pure, full of many good works, produced by Jesus Christ. I caught on that particular verse. Produced by Jesus Christ to bring glory and praise, not to Jayan, it is to God. Where are we? After 12 years or 13 years, the question that I'm asking to myself, where am I? Where's my standard? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to worship you, Lord. Lord, we are thankful that you allowed us to worship together. For the last 13 years, Lord, we are gathering together. Lord, that is a privilege. Lord, help us to see where we are now and how is our growth. Are we up to the standard that you want us to be? Lord, help us to evaluate ourselves. Lord, guide us. Pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, in this fourth chapter of Philippians, Paul mentioned 37 times about Lord Jesus Christ. Then the second word comes is rejoice. 37 times he is talking about Christ. Then he is talking about rejoice. Usually we used to hear that this epistle is an epistle for rejoicing. No, that's about Lord Jesus Christ. Without Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot rejoice. So that is the first important point. Rejoice through Jesus Christ. So Paul opened his heart and Paul is very clearly saying that what is his intention, what he wants us to be. And then again, if you want to see the Paul's real heart again, it is written in Galatians. I mean, I don't know whether it's a motherly prayer or a fatherly prayer. It says, my little children, I am in pain again over you like a mother giving birth. I will feel this pain until people can look at you and see Christ. I am using ERV, easy to read version, in order to make it easy. So it says, my little children, I am in pain again over you like a mother giving birth. Imagine Paul is writing this letter. He is saying, I am in this exact pain like a mother. Then I asked Jimsy, what is that about? She said, it is bigger than your kidney stone pain. I understand it very clearly. Because I had the kidney stone pain, so I know what it is. She said, more than that. So that is the pain he was going through. Try to imagine how interestingly he was opening his heart. How easily he was communicating with the church. And he says, I will feel this pain until people can look at you and see Christ. That is his wish. That he wants to see in us. That's what the God is asking us to do. When a third person who's coming from the street is looking at you, they should be able to see Christ in me. Where am I? Where is my standard? Where I am standing right now? That's a question towards me. I'm talking about 12 years or 13 years of our history. That's great. We can do projects. Projects to projects. We can do several programs here. Are we displaying Christ in our life? It's an important question, isn't it? That is Paul's heart. Paul opened his heart. And he's asking, this is what he wants about his church. Again, let me take another one more verse. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13 it says, this work must continue until we are all joined together in what we believe and in what we know about the Son of God. Our goal is to become like a full grown man, to look just like Christ and have all his perfection. Again, Paul is clearly mentioning that we need to grow to a level that we will be reflecting Lord Jesus Christ in perfection. So, Columbus Bible Chapel, the question to you this morning is, what's our standard? Where are we? When somebody comes with a grading paper in front of you and try to grade you, what's your grade? What's you're going to get? It is a difficult question to answer, isn't it? Are we growing in the knowledge? Are we growing in the love towards Lord Jesus Christ? How much knowledge we are having about God? Do you know how to prioritize or how to say this is important or other one is important? Can you be blameless and pure? And is the God is creating good works out of you to his glory, or you are doing your own work to get the glory for yourself? As a church, we can do a lot of things. Who is getting the glory? Is the Lord Jesus Christ is working in us to get the glory for our God? It's an important question, that's what I believe. Okay, when we are going further down, he's talking about the maturity. I put the Webster dictionary here to convey what I was trying to say. I heard some people are saying mature, and I am from India, I born and brought up in India, we used to say mature. So the reason that I put it here, this is a particular reason. When I was in San Diego, I was attending a church, 90% of them are Jewish convert. So I was sharing the word of God one day. I was talking about Nehemiah. And most of them understand that, and people were nodding their head, because Nehemiah is the proper way of saying Nehemiah in Jewish history or Jewish language. And thankfully, I was exactly saying the same way that how the Bible is written. It is from the book of Nehemiah. I was talking about all these things. After half an hour, when I went back to the seat, one guy sent a letter to me, a small note to me, and asked me, are you talking from Quran or Apocrypha? Then I show him, this is what I'm looking into. Oh, he said, Nehemiah. You're talking from Nehemiah book, right? So, in order to avoid that confusion, I thought of putting the mature. And when I am saying mature, you may call it mature, whatever it is. I am saying the same thing. Amen. Having or showing the mental and emotional qualities of an adult, we need to be mature. Having a fully grown or developed body, grown to full size, or having reached the final or desired state, that is what God is expecting us to do. We need to be matured to the level of Lord Jesus Christ, to the perfection of Lord Jesus Christ. Jokes apart, where are we right now? You are a Christian. You are attending the church every day. Are we doing it as a monotonous repetition? Or are you maturing day by day? So that's what the Lord is asking us this morning. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 28 it says, so we continue to tell people about Christ. We use all wisdom to counsel every person and teach every person. We are trying to bring everyone before God as people who have grown to be spiritually mature in Christ. As a church, that is our aim, to mature in Him, to grow up to that full size. Exactly, when somebody is looking at you, they must see Christ in my way of life, in our way of life. Are we able to do that? The Paul in his letter, he says that, again, that letter, that prayer, he says, we should be able to understand what is important. In this world of several priorities, as a church, as an individual, we should be able to prioritize it correctly. We should be able to get mature enough to have that perfection through Lord Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's asking for. When we are thinking about further, the maturity in love towards Christ, he says about that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. There are four requests he made on that prayer. The first one is maturity in love towards Christ. Christ's love towards us and not our love towards Christ is the true ground of expectation and true foundation of hope. Our love is not counted. How much you can love is not the important thing right now. Because His love is so big. Let me read that one more time. Christ's love towards us and not our love towards Christ is the true ground of expectation. Because my God, my Lord Jesus Christ, is loving me, that's why I'm standing today. That's fine. But how much you are expressing your love towards Lord? If you are taking a yardstick or a measuring gauge and try to measure your love towards Lord Jesus Christ, where are you? Are you on the medium, high, or low? Paul is asking the maturity in love towards Christ. We are loving Lord Jesus Christ. Are we loving enough? The Paul is praying that you should grow in love. You know, there's no limit. We need to love Him more. As we were meditating this morning, He submitted Himself willingly. And He became a public display because of my sin, in order to give me the peace with God and the peace of God. He publicly submitted Himself to the will of His Father. So how much I am loving Him? First question, maturity in love towards Christ. How far we are doing on that? And how much knowledge we are having about Lord Jesus Christ. If you are having enough knowledge, then only you will be able to accept, or you will be increasing in the love towards Lord Jesus Christ. According to Greek, the words, the knowledge means a knowledge which gained from a practical experience, which will be ready to be used in a practical life. Is your knowledge a head knowledge only? if you can look into any brethren or any of the Bible chapel meeting, you will see that at least once in a month you will see the people will talk about the love, agape, this one, that one. They divide everything. They are interested to count the toenails of the creature that Daniel has seen in his dream, not getting into the real thing. They will be looking into the dreams of Daniel and say, this many toenails is having, that creature is having. They will analyze everything and miss the main point. Is our knowledge is head knowledge? I can say how this is pronounced in Jewish language, in Malayalam, in English, in Hindi. If I don't know my Lord Jesus Christ, what's the meaning? Maturity in love towards Christ. Then the second is the maturity in evaluation of life. The Paul is indirectly saying that I want you to be able always to recognize the highest and the best. There are different priorities are in front of you in your life. You have a lot of challenges. Every day we are going through selection. It is not an easy process. Some of them will have an impact on your life. Some of them will be having an impact on your eternal life. Selection is going on every day. Are we able to make correct selection in our life? Paul is asking us. We should be able to take the highest and the best selection. Evaluation. In a circumstance, we need to be evaluate the situation and to take the best and the highest. What is best and the highest? Anything which is towards Lord, anything towards the standard of God, is the highest and the best. If I am taking a selection of my own, and if it is far away from God's will, and if it is getting my financial benefits, am I doing the correct thing? These are the practical thing in our life, isn't it? When I came here, when I was talking to the believers here, when they were talking about their job preference, when they said, we want to move a place where there's an assembly, I never thought of that before in my life. I want a place where I can work and I can make money. That's what my preference was. I have seen saints in our assembly. He said that we were looking for the assembly first, then only we want to move. There are assemblies there, so we are going to move. I heard it. It was a news to me. I am growing. I am studying from you, my brethren. I am studying. My preferences were different. Where are you right now? When you are taking a decision, are you taking a decision which will glorify Lord Jesus Christ? That's what Paul is asking. He wants us to be able to take a correct decision in our life. Mature and sincere way of life. Be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Can you be sincere? When I was studying, again I'm getting into some grammar or something, the word, origin of word and everything. Because it was interesting when I was reading all this thing. Sincere, the word comes from Greek. It is a two word, sin and sire. I know there are English people here, who knows English very well, so I'm very careful. So that means without wax. So I was trying to find out the origin of that word. It is in Greek. The sincere, the word, comes from Greek. In olden times, they make the pot or the vessels with the clay. And if there is a crack in that clay, they put wax there to cover it up. So when you are taking a pot and it looks against the sunlight and say, sincere, without wax. Is your life is full of wax? Lot of cracked areas in your life? Have you covered that one with the wax? And pretending that it is a perfect which can carry any water for the Lord? No. When it is tested against the sun, that will be revealed. My life, I have wax. I don't know about you guys. Are you sincere? 12 years of history, or more than that as a Christian? Are you sincere? The Paul wants his church to be sincere. Paul is representing our Lord Jesus Christ's wish. So that is tested by sunshine. Are you blameless and pure? I am using these verses to investigate my own life. I am seeing a lot of defects in me. I am seeing a lot of things that I need to correct. There are cracks. I covered it with the wax. When my Lord is looking at that one against the sunshine, definitely He will see that. Repair your own life. Correct it and mourn. That's what you are supposed to do. But the next one is mature enough so God will be glorified. Filled with the fruit, that you may be filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Examine your own deeds and find out if that is originated by Lord Jesus Christ and who is getting the glory. This is the truth that Paul proclaims in his prayer. So many are trying to get at the Christian life from the wrong starting point. You have to start with the love for God. If there is no love, there will be no sense of what is important. If there is no sense of what is important, there will be no pure and blameless life. If there is no pure and blameless life, there will be no glorifying God. It all begins with our love of God. How it is connected? Without love of God, you cannot have a blameless life. Without a blameless life, you cannot produce anything. God cannot use you. How it is connected? So nicely it is written, isn't it? This is what Lord Jesus Christ also said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. Love the Lord. See, the progression that Paul in the Paul's prayer is in such a way that you need to love the God, love the Lord, then all these things will come as a ripple effect, will come automatically when you are accepting, when you are submitting yourself. But when I am looking into my own life, there are a lot of shortcuts. This is what I am seeing on my own life. When I am measuring my own weight, that's what I am seeing. Oh, this is not what Jimsy used to put there. This is what exactly it is. When I am looking into my own life, there are defects. There are a lot of things that I need to repair. I need to correct. I do not know about your life. But I strongly believe that we need to examine our own life. When you measure, it says you need to reduce weight. You need to reduce your way of life. You need to change your way of life in order to reach that level of God's expectation. Your Christian heritage that you are talking about is meaningless if you are not taking an active involvement in your day-to-day life to make it according to the God's plan. This that was written in AD 60, but today it is 2015. It is important, it is vital. The value of that, even the single word, cannot be changed. It got the same value. Grow more and more in love towards Christ. And also the knowledge and understanding about God. Be able to prioritize or give the importance to the correct thing in our life. Live a blameless and a pure life. Generate the good works because of through the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify the Lord. I hope this will help us to examine our own life. May I request Leslie Engel to conclude this?
Okay. Father, we thank you once again for giving us to sit in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for precious fruits in your eternal word. Thank you, Lord, for the word is eternal and does not change in the centuries. And we thank you that what the apostle has written from his prison cell so many centuries ago is so true and so important to us even today. We thank you for reminding us of our responsibility to grow and not to be as babes. We remember, Lord, that we need to desire the milk of the word and not to be empty milk only, but to grow up to have more meat in the word, and we therefore pray that each of us will be encouraged even this week to look more into your word as we feed on your word. We know, Lord, that we grow more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for every brother, every sister, every little one, every young one present here. We pray, God, that you will be with us during the week as we desire to walk with you, as we desire. You know, Lord, there are reasons why we stumble, there are reasons why we are distracted, and we pray, God, that you will draw us closer to yourself. Help us to understand, Lord, how precious it is to be close to you, and more than many things that detract us would fall away if we remain turned towards you, if we remain close with you. We therefore pray for everyone present here and those who are not here with us this morning. Lord, we pray that you would undertake with each one in our spiritual walk. Pray for others who have not been well in our midst. Pray for Brother Bob as he recovers from his slight illness last night. We pray for his family. We pray also for those who are traveling among the Israelites. Others who may be not with us this morning, we pray that your blessings be upon each of them. And we pray, O God, that you will bring us back in your will as a fellowship so that we may gather around your name again. We ask all this, giving you thanks in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.